My pleasure. Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Michael Cohen, who's a regular contributor to the Boston Globe on national politics and foreign affairs. He's the author of the American.
You are listening to WGXC ICRA, hands-on creative community radio at 90.7 FM and streaming live online at WGXC.org. WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm.
You see Lion, the King of Beasts.
Music from elsewhere and beyond.
Huge elephant trumpet across the plains.
Imaginary soundtracks to unmade foreign films.
And there are rhino, those craggy creatures surviving from a bygone age.
Snack Point Charlie. Hosted by Jeff Economy. Every first Wednesday from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Scribner's Catskill Lodge, a 38-room boutique hotel located in Hunter, offering a seasonal outdoor pool, weekend wellness programming, and nightly s'mores around the fire pits. Located at 13 Scribner Hollow Road, across the street from Hunter Mountain, 8 miles from the forest trails in Catskill Park, and 22 miles from the town of Woodstock. Scribner's is also home to the Prospect Restaurant and Bar, serving modern fare. Information at 518-628-5130 or at www.scribnerslodge.com.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network in sports.
You've tuned into All Together Now, WGXC's local news show, Hudson Valley and Capital Region from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. Today, Skip Blumberg from the Video Freaks tells a story of the world's first pirate television station. It was in Greene County from 1971 to 1978 on Channel 3. We'll also hear about voting registration deadlines and more on the local news and more rain coming on the weather on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
Daniel Zuckerman is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Greene County officials have set in motion a plan to demolish the existing Greene County jail. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said the legislature is talking about taking down the Bridge Street building and relocating the county booking facility to Coxsackie. Groden declined to say exactly where in Coxsackie before the location is approved by the State Commission of Correction. The engineering firm of Barton and Logitis visited on August 3rd and 13th to conduct an asbestos evaluation to aid in determining how the building would be destroyed. Groden said, and I quote, "Our feeling is once we've been advised we have an unsafe structure, we're going to tear it down," end quote.
The cost of bringing the building down would be $500,000.
Greene County Sheriff Greg Seeley said negotiations are underway with the owners of the space the county hopes to lease. Demolishing the old jail would eliminate one of three options long debated by officials: building a new jail, sharing a jail with Columbia County, and renovating the old jail have been under discussion for months. Legislator William Lawrence, a Republican representing Cairo and the chair of the legislature's Public Safety Committee, said he hopes the latest effort will help push a decision on the bonding of a new jail. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sigos announced August 15th the adoption of new regulations designed to improve public safety at Catskill Falls, as well as three nearby areas that have experienced a substantial increase in public use in recent years. Sigos said in a press release, "The Falls RN, and I quote, increasingly popular destination," end quote, and the newly adopted regulations are intended to improve both safety and accessibility, and I quote, without sacrificing its natural qualities, end quote. The newly adopted regulations impact all parts of four areas: the Catskill Falls Riparian Area in the town of Hunter, the Catskill Clove Riparian Corridor in the town of Hunter and Catskill, the Platte Clove Riparian Corridor in the town of Hunter and Saugerties, and the Colgate Lake Wild Forest Area in the town of Jewett. Effective immediately in all four areas, campfires and portable stoves are banned, glass containers and the possession of alcohol are prohibited, the use of audio devices without the use of headphones or earbuds is forbidden, and the public is barred from entering restricted areas as designated by signage. At Catskill Falls specifically, the public is not allowed to be within 6 feet of cliff edges, except on marked trails, and prohibited from entering the water within 150 feet upstream of the falls. Read the full list of new regulations at dec.ny.gov.
Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The brick is being replaced on the facade of Kinderhook's historic Village Hall, a building constructed in 1874. The structure is one of five village-owned buildings located in the National Register of Historic Places District and has had extensive work done on it in the past. Mayor Jen Dunham said, and I quote, "I would guess that there are only two structures, the Village Hall and the Bandstand, that have historical or architectural significance. In 2001, we had a similar masonry repair contract for about $27,000. In the past, we have had masonry work done on the building. The mortar was not done right, and it is now falling apart," end quote. The village board approved an agreement with the contractor, Lance Glenn, last month, and the work is underway. Glenn is expected to finish the job by mid-September. Dunham said, and I quote, "More brickwork is needed higher up on the building, but that is not urgent work at this point," end quote. The fire escape at the back of the building needs to be replaced as well. Dunham said, and I quote, "We are looking for quotes for replacing that. I don't think we are going to be able to salvage any of the fire escape," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Ulster County lawmakers may hire a cybersecurity firm to look into allegations the county's two top elected officials gained unauthorized access to others' computer files. The Ulster County Legislators Ways and Means Committee, August 14th, agreed to seek proposals to determine what happened and whether county policies were violated. Ulster County Executive Michael Hine, a Democrat, has said Comptroller Elliot Auerbach, also a Democrat, routinely gained unauthorized and potentially illegal access to county finance department computer files. Auerbach has accused the Hine administration of going into the comptroller's hard drive and extracting recordings of telephone conversations Auerbach secretly made with county officials and members of the public. The Hine administration reported its suspicions to the county compliance officer and is working to determine exactly what information was accessed. Auerbach has called on the state attorney general to investigate. Legislature Chairman Ken Ronk said the Ways and Means Committee will review the proposals and recommend a firm to be hired. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts there's a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. on Friday, a high near 83 and a low around 69. Saturday, there's a 40% chance of rain, mostly before 2 p.m., with a high near 77 and a low around 60. Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high near 74 and a low around 58. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
Next, we have these reports.
Community health centers in New York are getting some much-needed help through federal quality improvement grants. On Wednesday, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced $125 million in grant awards to more than 1,300 community health centers across the country. Lindsay Farrell heads the Open Door Family Medical Centers, operating six locations in Westchester and Putnam counties. She says the grants will help them serve low-income people outside the metropolitan area where services are plentiful.
While New York is a great healthcare state, there are many places where healthcare isn't very accessible, and we as community health centers are in business to address those needs.
She adds the centers are open to people of all income levels, but those who make below 200% of the federal poverty level can get services on a sliding fee scale. Farrell notes that the clinics provide a full range of primary care services.
We do family medicine, pediatrics, internal medicine. We also do OBGYN. We have behavioral health care. We have a very large dental program. And then we have some ancillary services, including vision and podiatry.
Farrell believes the federal grants announced this week are an important validation of the services the community health clinics provide, and says the goal is to keep them affordable and accessible.
We're not into selling services the way other healthcare organizations are. We are really about helping people manage their chronic disease, preventing chronic disease, and really encouraging people to live healthy lifestyles.
In 2017, more than 27 million people nationwide relied on federally supported healthcare centers for their primary care. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
New York State's primary election for state offices will be held on Thursday, September 13th, which might seem unusual because elections are usually held on a Tuesday. Mark your calendars now and make a plan to vote. The deadline to register to vote in the primary for new voters is August 19th, so registration applications must be postmarked by that day. Voters cannot change their party registration until next year, so if you're hoping to vote in the primary election, check your voter registration status and make sure you're registered in the party whose primary you wish to vote. To find out your voter registration status and for more information on voting and voter registration deadlines more generally, visit the Board of Elections on the web at elections.ny.gov or visit your local Board of Elections office.
I'm Tom Rode. Tune in to me and my friend Henry the Hudson Whale on Friday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show, 9 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Acre at 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar. If you have a press release for All Together Now, send it to news@WGXC.org. And our crack community reporters will see if we can mention your news on the local airwaves on the collaborative 6 p.m. local radio news show, All Together Now.
Get this record for me, won't you please?
I should keep records of these things.
WGXC Record Fair 2018 is coming back Sunday, September 16th at the Basilica Hudson. Vendors from across the Northeast will gather at Basilica's main hall to sell vinyl, CDs, cassette tapes, DVDs, books, musical equipment and instruments, and radio-related ephemera. If you want to get involved and sell records, CDs, or more at WGXC's Record Fair, email recordfair@wgxc.org or call 518-6...
Destructuring and resensitization.
Movement restructuring and desensitization. Is that related to those flashing Japanese videos or something?
Oh, I don't know what those are. I can tell you about EMDR. It's very interesting.
What is that? Yeah.
It's a California sort of therapy that you use along with talk therapy, and it's used specifically for post-traumatic stress disorder, curing it, not causing it. And the theory is that you build a wall between the two halves of your brain when you're under a lot of stress. And what this does, and in different ways, including audio, is penetrates the wall. And it was first done with eye movement, with just your finger or holding a pencil, and you continue talking, but the therapist is doing this and you're penetrating. But I started doing it after 9/11 with headphones, and they use headphones to go back and forth like those old ping pong stereo LPs when I was a kid.
Tom is demonstrating. He's spamming.
Yeah. That's it. So it has. It uses thunder and lightning and storms, or ocean, or Peruvian flute music, and it just goes back and forth while you're talking. And then they developed it with like vibrators in your hands or under your legs or something. So again, now I didn't believe it, and I could, because it sounded so hokey, California. But I tried it, and it was fantastic. It's like a faucet for your stress. It just like eliminates it. So I've started to use it in my videos a lot to go back and forth with using the stereo as often as I can, because I think it has that same. So for entrances and things like that, particularly a screen location. But it just informs me about how to deal with it, because I don't think it works on everybody. I think it's like hypnosis. But
sure.
I think for some people, it has profound impact without drugs, no side effects. And
we're speaking with Skip Bloomberg, the legendary Skip Bloomberg from the Video Freaks. And so as you're listening to the radio, how should you move your eyes?
Oh, well, you have to follow something. So you can take your fist and make a single finger, and then just go left and right and move them horizontally back and forth from edge to edge. It's better if somebody else does it. And
it's probably better if you're not driving.
It depends on the road. I would say, you wouldn't want to go down Platte Clove Road doing that now. But certain straightaways. We're on the air. What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
We should assume that we're doing a show.
We are recording a conversation with potential for radio broadcast, if that's okay with you, Skip.
Yeah.
Which we're just taking advantage of the fact that you're here visiting us in the Acre Studio at Wave Farm. And
here at Wave Farm, everything gets on the air eventually.
Yes, but the reason, part of the reason for your visit is to tell us what is being planned for the year 2019, which is the 50th anniversary of Video Freaks in Lanesville, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I call it the 50th birthday of the Video Freaks.
Lanesville and Greene County, the birthplace of pirate television in the world? Is that
well,
true?
It's hard to say. We called ourselves probably America's smallest TV station because we didn't know and we didn't want to like be overstretching our accomplishment.
But that was probably true.
We didn't hear about another. We never heard about another pirate TV station, actually.
Or a smaller station.
You're a good listener. There were a lot of pirate radio stations. Joseph Paul Ferraro, who had one in, I think, Westchester and Yonkers, was one of our advisors for our pirate TV station. Abby Hoffman, the co-founder of the Yippies with Paul Krasner and Jerry Rubin, gave us the money to buy the gear for the pirate TV station in order to write a chapter in his book, Steal This Book, about various kinds of theft. And he liked the idea that you could make a TV station, because at the time in the 1960s, early 1970s, television, many of your audience might not know, was the leading source of news and information and entertainment for everybody in America. Not necessarily around the world. It was before the internet. It was before cable TV even, so it was very limited. There were three network channels, and that was it.
Maybe you can count PBS, but maybe, right?
PBS at the time was a system of college stations, educational stations.
It wasn't even PBS as we know it today.
It was educational. It was EBC, Educational Broadcasting Corporation, I think. And then PBS formed with donor-supported stations and college stations.
But otherwise, it was just CBS, NBC, and ABC.
Yeah, it was all corporate controlled and white guys reading the news. And so Abby wanted like to use this medium, to get to his audience, which was revolutionary, goals of changing things to the world that we're going to be able to change in the next few years, now that we know what we want, and now that we have this big obstacle going on, we can use this chaos to get to that world. We don't need a revolution. We just need to vote for the progressive candidates and get there. But meanwhile, let's get back to Lanesville. We started in New York. Abby wanted us to get arrested and go on trial for transmitting to make the statement about ownership of the airwaves. And we had to explain to Abby that we like to make television. We didn't like to go to trials. He liked to go to trials. That would be fine for him. But we wanted to.
It was kind of his thing.
We enjoyed exploring what was new for television. We actually started in Manhattan on Prince Street in a studio, and we had Friday night showings, and we were exploring what was new about video. It wasn't film. We were the first TV generation, the people in the video.
And this was the first time the equipment got smaller and mobile.
Smaller and mobile by Sony in the late 60s. Nam June used it first, and then we sort of found it a few years after that. And it was made for consumers, but in fact, consumers found it too difficult to thread the reel-to-reel tape. It was also made for education and industrial, and the same thing. People bought it and put it in their closet because it was too difficult to use, but artists and activists grabbed the medium and recognized it as the most powerful medium in America at the time and wanted to make our own TV shows. We wanted to more than talk back to our television. We wanted to create and to find out what was new about it. So, for instance, film, I consider like riding in a taxi. I started making Super 8 movies, and when you press the trigger, it would go click, 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 and it was like the meter in a taxi, because you knew you would have to develop it, and it was going to cost you money when it was all done. But with video, it's like riding a bus. You put the tape in the machine, and you could ride the whole way for the same price. So it meant something in terms of getting natural behavior, because you weren't like being tight about the material. You were like shooting until something interesting happened, and then you would turn it off after that was over. And sometimes, you know, what we called good video would just walk into the screen and something amazing would happen, like completely spontaneously. That was like the height of good video, when something amazing would happen and you didn't know it was going to happen. And it has a punchline, of course. So we were exploring that, and Abby gave us this money to do it, and we started transmitting in the city. And it was difficult in the city because it's weak signals, low power television. Chuck, who was our chief technician, and Parry were really developing the gear. And Parry Teasdale had a Volkswagen bus, and we drove around to different places. Abby wanted us to like connect it to like the Brooklyn Bridge and then transmit, like, you know. But, you know, that was on different substances than we were taking at the time. Anyway, then we moved to Lanesville after like 2-3 years in the city, because it was too expensive, and the studio in New York became too hectic, and there was too much going on. There would be like naked yoga in one corner, and planning for the first Earth Day video projections in another corner, and then our accountant would be having a meeting about like paying the corporate taxes and all. And it just was like, so we lived in a bunch of different apartments. There were 10 of us at the time. So we moved upstate to Lanesville. We looked closer to the city, but found this 27-room house, 17 bedrooms, and we moved in there in 1971. And the whole story, of course, is on www.videofreaks.com. It's in the movie Here Come the Video Freaks. It's in Parry's book, Parry Teasdale's book, and Nancy Kane wrote a book also about all of this. So we have a tradition of transmitting. The group was actually formed by Parry and David, and then Curtis after that, when they met at the Woodstock Festival. And they were doing just alternate coverage. They were like information center about drug overdosing and, you know, where if you're freaking out, where to go get help. And they were like an information center. They just were recording, and they had a tent with playback, and they weren't covering the stage. There was another video artist named Ira Schneider, and he has a lot of stage footage of that. And there's a movie coming out this summer called like The People's Woodstock, and it includes Parry and David's footage and Ira's and other people. And it's about like stuff that you didn't see in the documentaries.
That's coming out in 2018 or 2019?
2019, the 50th anniversary. So the 50th anniversary of the festival is the 50th birthday of the Video Freaks. So we're going to have a birthday celebration for the whole 2019. It's the year of the Video Freaks. And, you know, we have a lot going on. We've had a lot going on. We're still a partnership. We're still very active exposing our footage. We have 12 or 1,500 tapes in Chicago Art Institute in a archive there. And it's available. Some of it has to be restored. Not like only a couple hundred have been restored. We have Video Freaks Pirate TV, .vhx.tv, so people can see our work online also that way.
What channel or what frequency were you on in Greene County? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was Channel 3.
Channel 3.
And we would come on with Sunny Disposition, which was a Manhattan Transfer song. Life can be delish with a sunny disposition. That was our theme song. And we had a few different shows in the beginning, because we were very excited when we started transmitting. And Lanesville is in a very narrow valley. It's called Stony Clove. Valley, and it's Hidden Valley. It's not between, it's between Phoenicia and Tannersville. And so it's not really used a lot. And at the time we moved in there, it was very Appalachian. The Benjamins and the Neils and the Ostranders were pretty much who lived there. And now it's, you know, more outsiders have moved in, but it was very hidden. And so we started transmitting to this backwoods, essentially mountain people who were truck drivers. And
1, 2, 3, ah! 1, 2, 3, 4, can I have a little more? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I love you. A, B, C, D, can I bring my friend C, E, F, G, H, I, J, I love you. Sail the ship, jump the tree, skip the rope, look at me. All together now, all together now. Take my friend to bed. Pink, brown, yellow, orange, and blue. I love you.
This is Damian Katera. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. The airwaves as a creative medium.
WGXC believes in community. We are a hands-on participatory radio station and serve many communities. WGXC's volunteer programs range in age from 9 to 84 and come from all walks of life. What they produce is as varied as the communities we serve. WGXC is an unbiased source for local news and cultural affairs information. Programming made by and for youth airs daily, and our celebrated musical programming is unique, diverse, and eclectic.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
Finally, the Queen of Soul has gained her angels and moved on to the other side of heaven. Aretha Franklin, the undisputed Queen of Soul, who sang with matchless styles on such classics as Think, I Say a Little Prayer for You, and Respect, and stood as a cultural icon around the globe, has died at the age of 76 from advanced pancreatic cancer. The family added, in one of the darkest moments of our lives, we are not able to find the appropriate words to express the pain in our heart. We have lost the matriarch and rock of our family. The love she had for her children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and cousins know no bounds. Rest in peace, Queen. You have been a true, true difference maker.
Change, change, change.
Oh, honey, I'm so glad you brought me up to Hudson, New York, so we could gamble about with the Finches and the Sparrow families.
Yeah, honey, I love coming up here on the weekends. You know, Sunday, September 16th, over there at Basilica Hudson, they're having one of them record fairs.
Oh, I can finally get my Pete Townsend cassette.
Yeah, I'm going to get my Bette Midler bootlegs, probably, Sunday, September 16th at that Basilica Hudson.
Oh, is that that place with all the lovely people and sculptures and Greenway?
Yeah, they got a Greenway down there. I like to sit on it and stare at the frogs gathering around my feet.
Oh, September 16th at Basilica Hudson, the WGXC Record Fair.
Next, we have these reports.
Mediation Matters is a nonprofit organization of volunteers and professionals dedicated to helping people manage and resolve conflict, and has been serving the Capital Region since 1979. The organization helps individuals, families, and communities to resolve conflicts in the Capital Region. Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent Corinne Carey spoke with Sarah Rogers-Tisch, director of Mediation Matters, about some of the services the organization offers and how they will be involved in implementation of the state's recent plan to move young people charged with certain crimes out of criminal courts and into the family court system.
New York State recently revised its criminal law to raise the age for young people. In the past, young people were tried in adult court. Now those kids are being moved into juvenile court proceedings. Some people have said that, you know, it might have been easier for young people to get a good deal in adult court. They could walk away with very little criminal sanction. And so there's this worry that moving people into the juvenile court system could ensnare them in a more consequential criminal proceeding. Your group has paid attention to the consequences of kids in family court, and you're going to be involved in the implementation of Raise the Age. Is that right?
October 1st of 2018, 16-year-olds will now be treated as adolescents instead of an adult system. And then in a year from now, 17-year-olds will be wrapped into that. There will now be services available to these young people.
Adolescent brain and where they are in life development.
And so conflict resolution fits extraordinarily nicely into that puzzle. We've been working very closely with probation departments, family court judges, youth court judges that are going to be moving into that arena to give them the opportunities to have these diversionary services, things like a restorative approach, so that if there was harm caused by the young person that's now caught in this system as an adolescent offender, they can address that harm through a restorative process, which is less punitive, but still holds them very much accountable for their actions, but measures the response and the repair for that harm to that young person and to the person that they harmed. It involves the person that they harmed into that discussion, which is very unique. In most criminal justice systems, the victim, the person who has been harmed, has only a small part to play. Restorative involves them very greatly so that they can say, this is what I need to feel whole as a result of this. That gives this young person a chance to reform their identity. Often these kids are labeled as a result of their behaviors, and they're young enough that there's a long time here and available to them to change how society views them. We had a little bit younger person who was involved in a matter and caused some damage to some property, and through the restorative arrangements that they made, there was a bond between this young person and the community that they harmed that wouldn't have been there but for the restorative approach and this new relationship that they developed through the system. So we're really excited. We're so thankful to the probation departments in our six counties, as well as the other partners and Department of Social Services and others that are open to allowing us to offer these services for the young people and family. It's one of many, many services that are now going to be available as these kids are diverted into these other parts of the court.
I think a lot of people think of a way to resolve a court issue as paying a fine. What are some of the other things that young people might be asked to do as part of this restorative process?
Well, that's the joy of the restorative process, is it can be very, very creative. I've read stories and heard people talk about finding what the young person is good at. So one was really good at artistic things, and so they They actually supported the community with using their artistic, so whether it was decorating property and buildings and rooms, supporting other young people who are headed down the wrong path. This might give these young people that are caught in this system an opportunity to mentor others and to be in service to others. It can be community service, but much more community service that's tied to the behaviors. I talked with a colleague who said, if you ever want somebody to be the best guardian of a piece of property, make them clean it up and make them repair that, you know, shed or whatever it might be, because then they're not going to want anybody else to mess with it in the future. So if they did damage to, they did vandalism, then get them involved in repairing that place that they vandalized, and then they're going to help you be a shepherd for that going down the path. And it's also understanding them. One of the things about restorative approaches is that it focuses on the relationships. It definitely focuses on the harm because we want to repair that. But then it's the long-term relationship that we're trying to build between these young people. So what we're trying to do is build enough connections so that their triggers, when they are triggered in the future, that we're responding so that they know who to go to, who are their go-to adults in the community. And we're building those bridges so that they don't turn to a negative path, but they turn to a positive and seek out the supports the next time around.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? News, politics, and culture? Well, WGXC 90.7 FM is looking for people to host its morning shows, the hands-on community radio magazine show. I host love having an audience, are capable of multitasking, and are slow to panic. No radio experience is necessary. We're looking for diamonds in the rough. Before taking to the airwaves, you will be thoroughly trained and then set free to create compelling radio for listeners throughout. Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Here's Catskill's Reckless Eric with his 2018 release Construction Time and Demolition and the song The World Revolved Around Me.
All there is time. Hold that thought and it's gone. The fragile here and now, where we mark time as time moves on. Thank you.
WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Governor Andrew Cuomo said August 15th that America, and I quote, was never that great, end quote, and sparked a firestorm of criticism. John Flanagan, the Republican majority leader of the New York State Senate, said Cuomo, and I quote, should apologize today, end quote. Mark Molinaro, the Republican candidate for governor, said, and I quote, America, with its imperfections, has always been great, end quote. Cynthia Nixon, Cuomo's opponent in the September 13th primary, said, and I quote, I think this is just another example of Andrew Cuomo trying to figure out what a progressive sounds like and missing by a mile, end quote. Cuomo's full statement said, and I quote, we are not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged, end quote. Danny Lever, Cuomo's spokeswoman, later issued a clarifying statement saying the governor, and I quote, believes America is great, end quote. Cable news hosts were even blowbaiting about the comment for a day after the comment was made, with even Donald Trump tweeting, and I quote, can you believe this is the governor of the highest tax state in the U.S., Andrew Cuomo, having a total meltdown, end quote. Part of Cuomo's original comments were about Trump, and I quote, he has it on his hat, make America great again. What does that mean? We're going to go back to a time when America was great, right? Great again? The whole concept is, it's retrospective, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, where do you want to go back to, Mr. President? What was the great time that you want to take us back to when America was great? End quote. Richard Moody in the Columbia Green Media reports that construction of a roundabout at the intersection of Routes 23 and 9G on the Columbia County side of the Rip Van Winkle Bridge is in full progress now, with minimal delays so far. Rabbi Zol Zak of the Temple Israel of Catskills said, and I quote, the traffic flow is an extra 30 seconds or so. I think this is a great project and an important project. So to have this project, we need to put up with a little bit of disruption, end quote. The State Department of Transportation is spending $4.5 million on the roundabout construction, part of its $14.6 million Skywalk Trail project, that is meant to increase foot traffic over the Rip Van Winkle Bridge between the Olana State Historic Site in Greenport and the Thomas Cole National Historic Site in Catskill. Construction began this week, and cars are now routed around a temporary roundabout with construction workers all around. Speeds for vehicles have been reduced to 35 miles an hour, and police have ticketed drivers around the site. Jody Cole of Cairo said, and I quote, I don't think the traffic has been that bad. It's been moving for me, and I go through this intersection at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. every day, end quote. The DOT says the roundabout and related parking areas are expected to be complete in the fall, with the total project completed by the end of the year. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County lawmakers put the brakes on a proposal to ban the use of plastic bags this week. The Ulster County Legislature sent the measure back to the Energy and Environment Committee on August 14. In June, at a public hearing, only three of the 22 speakers were against banning plastic bags. The three speakers included the head of the New York State Association of Convenience Stores and the store manager of ShopRite in the town of Ulster. Legislator Tracy Bartels said she believes the ban would have passed if a vote were taken this week. But, and I quote, there were comments that were raised by the Food Industry Alliance that talked about the need for a State Environmental Quality Review Act review, end quote. The Bartel said the Bring Your Own Bag Act would ban the use of single-use plastic shopping bags in Ulster County, except at restaurants, and make stores charge 5 cents for recyclable paper bags provided to customers. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that Kinderhook now owns 77.9 acres behind Volunteer Park off State Farm Road. Supervisor Pat Grattan announced that the town got the land from the state at the Kinderhook Town Board August 6. The town had to pay some closing costs on the transfer of the land, but the state did not charge Kinderhook for the property. There may be trails on the land, and there is a road the town currently maintains into Volunteer Park. Kinderhook now has about 100 acres at the park, with baseball and softball fields, a basketball court, soccer fields, and a dog park, and a playground. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts there's a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. on Friday, a high near 83 and a low around 69. Saturday, there's a 40% chance of rain, mostly before 2 p.m., with a high near 77 and a low around 60. Sunday should be mostly sunny with a high near 74 and a low around 58. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported creative community radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Friday, August 17th, Frederick Arnold is live in the Hudson studio on City Folk from 11 until noon, followed by the Sugar Shack Jukebox with Jared Widgeskoog, featuring an in-studio interview with members of Rhythm Sticks, Hudson's new samba band. He'll be talking with musical director Felipe Hernandez Brun and band member SVB about Brazilian rhythms and their debut performance August 17th at the Half Moon in Hudson. And at 2 on Hudson Valley Sound, Troy band Beargrass will be interviewed, plus previews of local shows this weekend. Later on in the evening at 7 o'clock, DJ Lanz is guest DJ, featuring indie pop and other ephemera, until 9:30. There's also an extra web stream from High Low and Catskill of a live performance with Nina Violet and Lorcan O'Reilly, starting at 8 o'clock. You can tune into the stream on the WGXC website. And at 9:30, the Stoop Rock Radio Takeover, featuring a tribute to the Queen of Soul, hosted by Tall Matt.
Tune into Transmission Arts on the radio Saturday, August 18th, with the 7th episode of Amanda Dawn Christie's live Anacro Techno Fetish Show at midnight. Then there's the latest episode of Donald Trump Theater at 9 a.m., Radio Wonderland live from Brooklyn at 10:30 a.m., and the Itinerant Mind Show at 11 a.m. Some of the Art O'Mai Music Fellows will be performing live on the air at 2 p.m., and Amanda Dawn Christie will be back live at 4 p.m. on the Saturday afternoon show on WGXC 90.7 FM and Wave Farm Standing Wave Radio. WGXC has extra web streams on the air. If you click on Listen Now, you can hear all kinds of other things besides the regular WGXC program schedule. And this week we have extra web streams on Wednesday. Tune in the Catskill Town Meeting. The town of Catskill puts the town meeting out through the WGXC app that's free and available in the App Store. The Catskill Town Meeting can be heard on the Catskill Town website and on the WGXC website. Click on Listen Now and scroll down to the bottom to find the Catskill Town Meeting on Wednesday. Thursday, there's a show at High Low in Catskill. Evan Heisek, Beth Remis, Mark Trecca, and Stony Matt and T-Dust perform. There should be a live web stream on the WGXC website. Friday, show at High Low, Nina Violet and Lorcan O'Reilly perform. There should be a live web stream on the WGXC website. And CK Flack is at High Low on Saturday. And again, there should be a live web stream on the WGXC website at WGXC.org. There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
The deadline to register to vote in the state and local primary elections is Friday, August 17th. Make sure you're registered to vote. Contact your local Board of Election office for more information.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, creative, community, magical radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Thank you.